Okay, you losers, ready to go?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here we are. Oops, no, sorry.
All right, hello, welcome back. This is episode 8. We have.
It feels like we've been doing it for years.
Yeah. 8 years. We have another pussy in the house. Joined us at the table.
Are you insulting me off the bat?
Yeah.
Adam Friedland.
I'm here on Cool Girl Podcast. Mm. I'm excited. Thanks for having me, ladies. This is Adam Friedland, Dasha's boyfriend.
Don't get any ideas, guys.
Her boy toy.
Don't get it twisted, faggots. She's taken.
Don't blow up my spot, Adam.
Yeah.
A lot of
hopefully no
really cool
other
gay guys
will try to get her to be her boyfriend.
Yeah, yeah. Though I feel like after this episode, a lot of gay guys will be trying to get it, Adam.
Maybe.
Probably.
I mean, yeah, I do have the most vocal fry out of anyone on Cometown, so I think
and
I fit
maybe
right
maybe anyone
in.
On Red Scare.
The couple that has vocal fry together stays together or something.
That's true.
So we brought Adam on to talk about
Vanderpump Rules.
The age of the twink.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Can we just talk about Vanderpump Rules because this changed my life? We don't have to. I'm not going to.
You're not really caught up.
I know I'm not caught up, but it just makes me feel so alive when I watch it, and I can't get enough of it. But yeah, I'm not going to, you know, you guys run your podcast. I'm just here.
Vanderpump Rules is our favorite show right now. It's by far the most tightly edited
show. I feel like it's
really
hot right now in general.
Yeah, a lot of people are talking about
it. Yeah, and, you know, our very own Dasha was quoted in a New Yorker article today right on the heels of Lala Kent, who's my favorite feminist.
Agreed.
Because Lala is kind of almost a proto Venmo feminist in the sense that she has really made it acceptable. Like, she's really pushed back on this prevailing liberal narrative that it's not okay to accept gifts from men.
Wrong.
Yeah, it's wrong.
She's a remorseless whore, and I love
her. Yeah, and
for
we love it.
And she's the hottest one.
Yeah, she's the hottest one, and she's literally gone on record. Like, you know, I work for my man's money. I give him the blowjobs. I give him the affection. Like,
yep.
That's how you have to do it. Like, people think that it's an unequal trade-off where the woman is just like standing there being hot, but it's a lot of work.
It absolutely is.
Gotta earn your keep.
Right, Adam?
Yeah, totally. That's right. We're all whoring it up today.
Yeah. Well, who wears the turtleneck in the relationship?
Out of the two of us, what does that mean? Like, who's not circumcised?
Yeah. Well, clearly, you are because
I was circumcised twice, actually.
Yeah.
It was it was elective second circumcision. Yeah. I was 21.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to have a second bris and just invite all my friends and family over. And just, you know, have bagels and lox, veggie platter.
You wanted the rabbi to suck your dick again.
Yeah, I needed to go back for a second time just to see if it felt
as good as you remembered.
Just so you know, that is a very rare practice.
The sucking of the
It's called mitzitsa bepe, but it does occur. It does occur in some ultra orthodox communities, and there was actually a herpes outbreak. There was a moyle that had herpes in South Williamsburg a couple years ago.
Oh, I've heard about this.
And he was just slutting it up with all those little babies.
There's a whole clinic at NYU dedicated to researching this.
Mestiza Bepe?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it was so prevalent and is still prevalent.
I don't know how prevalent it is.
He single-handedly?
Well, no, the transition, the transmission of sexually transmitted
well,
diseases.
Well, okay, but you guys, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine about this, and he was like, you know, don't spin your wheels too much, like, you know. Pump the brakes, lady, because apparently a lot of these herpes outbreaks among children are due to the fact that
the
most
kids are
people,
the kids are
they're fucking and sucking in their cradles. They keep them in those weird caged-in balconies.
Oh, I love
that's
it.
All, yeah. But no, but apparently, like, you know, most adults have HPV and most adults have been exposed to the HS1 virus, which is different from HS2, which is the genital one. So if you have cold sores on your lip, you can literally transmit them to your kid or whatever.
Yeah.
And there's no indication that it's like sexually transmitted. Yeah. So this might be vastly overblown, but I like the demonic narrative that Orthodox Jews are having gay sex and then sucking off kids at brisses.
They've really done it this time.
There's a good documentary about gay people in ultra Orthodox communities called Trembling Before God. Mm-hmm. It's good if you guys want to check it out.
All right, maybe we'll watch it later.
All right, yeah, we'll watch it.
So do we want to interrogate Adam about his status as a twink or about the state of Israel or... Like, how can we waterboard you emotionally?
I don't know. First of all, twink, I'm not your guest because I do identify as a bull top. I've been in plenty of cuckolding scenarios where men in their, 60s and mid-60s probably wearing, kind of pleated dockers will sit on the side of a hotel room while I ravage their wives. I mean, this is obviously before I started dating Dasha.
Of course.
But they saw me sort of as a dominant bull, I think it's called in the cuck community. And whatever. I mean, that was a former life. I found love.
You're
now
very slim, and have a hairless chest.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. So that's in now? That's what that New York Times article said?
I would say you pretty much fit the profile of a twink, quintessential Timothy Chalamet twink type.
So
hot right
cool
now. Is that exciting for you?
I mean, I don't know. I've put this on record before, but I don't really think I could have sex in any other city other than New York City, because I think everyone's just a lot bigger everywhere else. I think I'm normal size here.
Yeah, everybody else Jews in like America is like Scandinavian or Bavarian, so they're like these large like quarterback men, like linebacker guys. This is true, yeah.
Yeah, and there are plenty of girls here that have been like, tricked by seeing Annie Hall enough times to think that like having sex with a disgusting like Rumpelstiltskin looking
like
Jew,
hunched over sickly Jew.
Yeah, I think
the dream.
They're like, oh my god, that movie's so romantic. I want to fuck someone with Tay-Sachs.
I mean, Adam, this is literally why people have sex with me.
That is not true.
Listen, I'm not
Anna
turning it down. I mean,
why would you?
And I, if the nebbish is considered attractive, then fine. I'm not gonna say it's not, but it is not. I mean, it really, it's not. But whatever.
I disagree. But
I mean, you've got your tastes.
Yeah.
And
I almost exclusively date Jews.
That's
disgusting. I almost exclusively try to date Jews, and they're like, "No, you look too much like my mother. Get away."
I mean, I guess there is maybe. I dated two Korean girls in a row, and the second one,
red flag.
I was on the, and so then everyone was like saying, you're one of those Jews that like only dates Asian girls. I was like getting a hard time about that, and then I guess we were on the train together, and she saw a text from my friend that said, bring your new Korean or something to the bar or something, and she saw it, and she obviously got really mad, and I was like, you don't get it, people are like, people think I'm like some sort of like, some sort of sexual deviant that I only have sex with people from one peninsula in East Asia. But then we were like having an argument on the L train, and then we got to her apartment and she had a picture of Woody Allen and Larry David next to her bed.
Oh,
yeah. So it was like,
it goes
actually,
both ways.
Yeah, it does.
That's
go both
dark
ways. Yeah, it was super dark. And then I was like, well, I'm the piece of meat, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, she like was desperately jealous of like Suni Priven for.
That's goals for me and Dasha at least.
Well,
for
you
me
know,
to adopt
Adam,
a
I will
Korean
say
that,
that
you can
that
marry
he can
later.
Fuck.
Yeah, our goal is to adopt a Korean.
Couple goals, and then I'll like down spiral in a Mia Farrow psychosis.
Style.
Yeah,
but she's so
I can't wait.
She's so skinny in Rosemary's Baby. You really that's thin spo right there.
Yeah. Well, Koreans actually have a lot of historic overlap with Russian people. So, Dasha's basically Korean. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what that is. We
like share a border. Right. And like, we have Victor Tsoi, the pop.
Absolutely.
The Kurt Cobain of
Russia.
I mean,
I spent a lot of time as a karaoke escort in the Korean community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we certainly
They covet Russians.
They covet Russian. Well, they covet like white women.
Love the round eye.
Yeah. But there's a lot of like cultural overlap and similar value systems amongst Koreans and Russians.
Yeah, like boozing and smoking until you drop.
Yeah. Sadistic drinking games, etc.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
So
saying the N-word, that's another thing.
Who doesn't like to?
Koreans love to say it. I don't. That from my experience. I don't want to. You can edit that out if you want. I don't want to make that salacious.
Oh, it's just a word in their alphabet. We've talked about this before. Right.
Oh no, in China, it's like a word. Yeah.
Let's not. Wow, we just galaxy brain the racism out of the park. I think we have to keep it in.
Meg is a judicious editor.
Yeah. Well, okay. Anyway, so speaking of racism, today we are talking about our favorite apartheid state, Israel. Mm-hmm. Israel is like really like the Bill Cosby of countries. They really can't do anything right, and they're not guilty. They can't catch a break. The only thing that Israel is like good at right now is like throwing up like faceless luxury condos or being aggressive at bars or exporting nubile co-eds to hawk massages and scented candles at American mall kiosks.
Yeah, that's true. Those guys, have you been to the Dead Sea at the mall? Where are they coming from? It's disgusting.
They're actually like being unearthed from the Dead Sea.
I guess so, from the mud.
So yeah, there was like a recent kerfuffle. Kerfuffle is understating it. The Guardian reported that 58 protesters were dead and 1,200 were injured. And according to the New York Times, more than 2,700 Palestinian demonstrators were injured on last Monday, at least 1,350 by gunfire. And they were all protesting the opening or the move of the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
Correct.
Adam is a twink.
I would say that
the twink
embassy. It wasn't a direct correlation. The protests had been going on for a while.
Okay.
And it happened to have, the optics, obviously, like on the split screen optics of like Jared and Ivanka like dancing at the embassy opening and then like kids getting shot. Like, But the protests had been going on for a while before.
I see.
Business as usual.
Yeah. So what? So you're going to take the pro-Israel side. I'm going to take the anti-Zionist.
I do want to come out on record and say that I am a Zionist.
I am a
sexual Zionist. Only Jewish dick is allowed in this occupied territory.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's interesting you say that because a lot of sort of the Israel propaganda machine, from my experience growing up in Zionist youth groups, and like knowing people that have done Birthright and stuff, is like sort of selling sex tourism and selling like sort of like
politics like
connected
you
to like your burgeoning sexuality. Like I was at summer camp, like having my first kind of sexual experiences with girls, and they were also shoving this like pretty heavy like Zionist politics down our throats at the same time.
I mean, I think that's brilliant psychological warfare because it's there's nothing like crossing your wire, like sexual and political wires. Right. Yeah.
I mean, I got super. So I was like, I used to go to Zionist summer camp in upstate New York, even though I grew up in Vegas.
I'm so jealous.
And
me too. Honestly.
Yeah. And then I don't think I was getting too much action in public high school, but at camp I was kind of a little bit of a pimp, and so then I got really into the politics because I kind of associated it with like getting like hand jobs and stuff on the sports field after Shabbat services. I lived in Israel for a while, and that was on the between high I had a gap year in Israel between high school and college, and I sort of lost my Zionism there that year. It was immediately following I moved there right after Ariel Sharon, who's also known as the butcher of Sabra and Shatila, disengaged from Gaza, which was like a big deal because there was like a few settlements that were liquidated. And pretty much since then to today, what you're seeing in Gaza is Gaza has been kind of like the world's largest open air prison where it's hermetically sealed off from the rest of the world. There's a naval blockade in the Mediterranean. The Israeli military controls everything that goes in and out. Mm-hmm. Their buildings have been destroyed in various conflicts with Israel, and they refuse to send in like concrete and building materials because they say they can build bombs with them. And then, you know, this is obviously, I don't know, culminating, but like fast forwarding to this week, like there was a tweet from the IDF that said, these are like the weapons that the Gazans are sending over to Israel. And one of them was kites that were on fire.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was just insane to me.
I mean, I think the general kind of PR strategy there seems to be to corner these people to a point where they retaliate, like to put them up in a corner and to until they when they retaliate, like completely fight or flight response as animals, and then people are like, well, they're a bunch of animals. But if anybody in that position would probably act that way if their like families and livelihoods
Israel were threatened. Much like American liberal feminists are aggressors masquerading as victims now.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's 100% a victim complex tied into, you know, the conflict with the Palestinians, and there's this argument that they have to recognize the state of Israel in order for peace to occur for the Palestinians. Like the people that are living in these deplorable circumstances, like in Gaza is such a small strip of land, and it's one of the most densely populated areas in the entire world. And, you know, they're expecting them to say, oh, we recognize Israel's right to exist.
I know, but this is a difficult question. It's a moral gray area, and it's one that, like, the liberal media, or, like, the leftist media, at least, has, like, historically, understandably, like, taken the side of the Palestinians. But what are you going to do, you know, with all these Jews that feel, like, I sympathize with kind of the basic Jewish perspective to the degree that, like, you know, you kind of have a new view of perspective of life when your entire generations of your family have been annihilated, exterminated.
Well, that seems like sort of the divide between younger and older Jews.
Yeah, yeah.
With younger Jews being progressively less and less like Zionist because they are further and further away from the Holocaust.
Yeah.
But I mean, as someone who's looking to convert to Judaism, I met with,
I don't
like,
know why, but
shut the fuck. Okay, fine, I won't. That's and this fine. Honestly makes me want to not convert to Judaism because
that makes sense to me.
And when I met with like a former rabbinical student who was sort of like giving me some insights into my conversion, and he was like, "There's this thing called honeymoon Israel, where you and your, it's for like interfaith couples or like young Jewish couples to get basically another like birthright-esque like free trip to Israel."
I'm so jealous that I
don't want to go to Israel.
Yeah, I really don't.
And as someone who's converting to Judaism for like cultural, spiritual reasons, I don't have any connection to Israel, and I don't really get why anybody does.
I mean,
like, why does it have to be there?
Well, I mean, I think it's like historically their homeland, right?
Biblically. The fake ass not, Bible.
Well, no, but that's not meaningless. This is like where this population of people, this is like where Abrahamic religion was born, Judaism, then Christianity, then Islam, in this like tiny little sliver of land. And the sad thing is that actually everybody has a claim to it. The thing is that they don't have an exclusive claim to it. But like, I have family in like Haifa, right? And like, I get why. Where, you know, I understand why they would want to stay there. Like, what are we going to do?
Israel.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's like the fundamental issue is that the Palestinians have a legitimate right of return, but their lands have been developed over their cities So, I mean, that's the question is how do you address a legitimate right of return, like in an equitable and fair way?
Yeah, how do you accommodate everyone? It's a really sad and unclear situation.
Well,
but
I think the answer is reparations, personally.
What does that look like?
I mean, I think that Israel is like obviously like a byproduct of this concept of, you know, the nation state, which is like a kind of Enlightenment concept, and that's found its way to, like, nationalism has failed in so many arenas around the world. And so I think that, yeah, I mean, I would consider myself at this point an anti-Zionist. I don't think that a continued apartheid, which only benefits your demographic control of your democracy. You could say, like, that's like a big argument my dad makes, is that, oh, there are Arab members of the Knesset, and there's, you know, there's an Arab person on the Supreme Court, so that, you know, the argument is that, oh, we they allow Arabs that live in Israel proper, not in the occupied territories, to vote, mm-hmm. although they're completely neglected by the government. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the answer is, like, are you going to have a two-state solution with two small non-contiguous slivers of land that's like a Palestinian state? Or are you going to think beyond, like, this concept of having a Jewish state and saying, like, oh, maybe having a state tied to, like, one ethnic identity and having a democracy, those two concepts don't really jive.
Well, you know, I think that in the long run, this is almost like a moot point, because, like, the kind of the neoliberal processes will make sure that there's no such thing as, like, nation statism down the line anyway. Everything will be, like, globalized. And, sure. Like, you know, maybe it's a good thing that Elon Musk or Mark Zuckerberg will put their boots on all of our necks, because it will settle the Israel-Palestine issue once and for all. But there's, like, a lot of, like, surprising things about this latest episode, this latest, like, Israeli scandal. For one, on a lighter note, I was genuinely shocked to see how busted Benjamin Netanyahu's wife was.
Yeah, she's whack.
It's funny because Brad texted me about this. Brad is Meg's boyfriend, for those who don't know. Fellas, mm-hmm. she's taken too. and he texted me like, oh, well, you know.
The fuck is he texting you for?
I was engorged, dot, 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 with rage. He was like, you know, Bibi really brought his dog to the ceremony. And I was like, what is he talking about? I want to see the puppy.
Ew.
And then I realized that he was talking about his wife. And I was, like, completely shocked, because Israel, this is a country, whatever you say what you will about their politics, this is a country where every piece of trim walking the street is, like, a clone of Gal Gadot or Natalie Portman. And he, like, picked the one that looks like a fruit bat from a Disney franchise.
Horrible.
This woman is hideous.
He used to look good back in the day.
Well, that's the thing. I feel really dirty.
He was kind of a piece
of
ass.
Netanyahu is my absolute male ideal. He's so sexy. And every time I used to
dream of doing some sexual tourism in Israel, but not anymore.
I mean, I will still do it. I like every time I see, like, that picture of young Netanyahu in the military fatigues, like, my, like, pussy region starts to feel like the Gaza Strip. It's all these, like, conflicting violent energies.
Anna.
Well, I'm just like, I can't believe I'm wet for the leader of the world's most powerful apartheid state.
Yeah, he's a fucking fascist. But
he's a fascist, but he was such a piece of ass in his day.
Yeah, he was. And
fuck a fascist than a neo-lib.
He sort of posted off of his, like, initially his brother was, like, a war hero.
Right.
He was the hero of the raid on Entebbe. Mm-hmm. And then he died. And then, like, so Bibi sort of came about as, like, this... Yeah, she looks whack.
Ooh.
Well, anyway, he's under a lot of fire right now for corruption scandals that potentially will take down his administration. Yeah. And his son is kind of, like, proving to be a political liability. Like, he actually, like, disclosed details of, like, government corruption while he was drunk at a strip club in Tel Aviv with his friends. Like, people, like, overheard him being like, oh, dude, can you get away with
it? I thought your blowjob story was the most humiliating Israeli strip club story to come out of that.
And then he's also, like, sort of a Pepe. He, like, shares, like, anti-George Soros, like memes on his Facebook page and shit. And what are you looking at?
This book, Psycho Bibi.
Psycho Bibi. He shares anti George Soros memes on
his
book. Like all right,
like
conspiratory, all right.
Like you know, like sort of protocols, the elders of Zion adjacent, like Pepe kind of memes.
Well, you know, the biggest revenge for being like a shitty tyrant is that your kids turn out to be like total retards.
Yeah, no, he's completely retarded.
But like another surprising thing is that, like, I've noticed that there's been kind of an almost complete about face in the liberal media with how it like addresses these kind of issues. Like especially probably in light of recent events, and maybe this is like a self-selecting fact of the lefty circles I travel in, and or maybe it's the result of like sheer algorithmic parsing, but I've noticed that like on the New York Times, on the Washington Post, the coverage of kind of Israel's murder of Palestinians has gotten, it's taken a line from being like openly kind of pro-Israel to being tentatively anti-Israel. And I say like anti-Israel and not pro-Palestinian, like deliberately. Right. So like lately, I think that like what you see is like this new emphasis on like Netanyahu and the IDF as being like criminal enforcers of the Middle East region. Mm-hmm. As a function of the idea that Trump is like the uber villain in our times, like going political mythology. Yeah. And like, you know, this to me seems also kind of disingenuous because there's no real political or human sympathy for the Palestinians. It's just, you know, the liberal media wants to score points against our Führer. So they like,
right,
will use the Israel angle and like bilk it for all it's worth, which is troublesome. Because
people still got mad at the New York Times this week because they said that, what was it, like 52 protesters died and they didn't say that 52 protesters were killed in their headline.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'll tell you from coming like from a Zionist, like, you know, youth thing, what we were just fed when we were kids was that the New York Times is incredibly anti-Israel. The media is incredibly anti-Israel. Don't even get us started on the BBC and like the media in Europe because they're so anti-Semitic and anti-Israel. But the issue is that there's a conflation. I mean, especially amongst the like Zionist community, there's like this quest. There's a firm stake in the ground that if you are anti-Israel, you are anti-Semitic, and there's no. So if I make a statement that I'm anti-Israel, then I'm technically a self-hating Jew.
Yeah.
And it's, you know,
which you are.
Well, of course,
but not for that reason. But not for a myriad of other reasons. Yeah.
Yeah, not for Israel. Who gives a fuck about Israel? Yeah. But no, I mean that's it's just frustrating. But like Dasha said, it is like a generational thing. And, you know, the people that were older and had connections to new Holocaust survivors and those kind of people have kind of this, you know, while the American Jewish community is typically a liberal community that votes between 75% and 80% for Democratic presidential candidates.
Yeah.
There's always been this blind eye that comes to Israel.
Yeah.
And I think it has to do with proximity to the Holocaust. Whereas younger generations like myself, like, we didn't know survivors like that, so like the fear aspect of the propaganda around the formation of the State of Israel, like this is the only place where Jews can be safe, doesn't make as much sense.
I mean,
it
turns out that they can't really be safe. Yeah.
Well, they can't be safe from those kites.
Yeah,
from those burning kites.
No, and I mean, partly this has to do with the resurgence of leftism in America, which the liberal media can no longer ignore. Mm-hmm. So they have to kind of move left on certain issues. Because I mean, the liberal media has kind of, you know, they prefer to see themselves as the underdog when they're really now the mainstream.
Right.
And I think part of it really has to do with this like rabid antagonism, like all consuming antagonism for Trump and what he represents, which is, you know, a classic defense mechanism that prevents them from looking at their own complicity in the matter. And sure. I just think when it's like the New York Times, you know, the New York Times ran an article that was like, you know, protesters like killed in like fighting whatever in Israel or like but the Jews balk at the fact or like feel no emotion. It was like some sort of headline to that effect where there was like, you know, Jews don't care.
Yeah.
And now they're like polling. I mean, this is a very tough kind of crowd because it's like a lot of people in the media happen to be Jewish, so a lot of Jewish people now have to basically go on record.
Yeah. Anti-Semitic.
But I feel like, you know, liberals are like basically chomping at the bit to discredit Trump when they should just like sit back and relax and let him do the work for them because he'll, you know, They don't have to.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, this has happened to the Palestinians forever. I mean, it's happened even amongst like neighboring Arab countries that were critical of Israel, but then still treated Palestinian refugees like deplorably, like Jordan. And, you know, there was like a month where more people were killed in Jordan, more Palestinians were killed, refugees were killed in Jordan than during both intifadas. Like, they, I mean, they've been like, they're kind of like, they're kind of sort of used as like, oh, we support them, but then they're treated like absolute shit.
And no actually, I mean, the sad thing is that actually nobody really cares about the Palestinians.
No.
Nobody does.
They are the forgotten people.
Yeah. And they're just
the planet.
Well, they're just like, you know, a symbolic pawn, but actually nobody cares. And like the other thing, like the other, you know, fun fact is that for everybody piling on to Israel, virtually, I mean, not virtually no one, that's a misrepresentation, but people don't are not as instantly triggered or outraged by Saudi Arabia. And to me, this is madness. I mean, or Yemen, but this to me is madness because the Israelis at the very least are oppressing a people that they perceive to be their enemy. The Saudis are like oppressing their own kind. They put women in cages. I mean, like, come on.
And then the they're completely with the support of the United States, like creating the world's largest humanitarian crisis in Yemen that no one really fucking cares about at all.
And you know, it's like every couple of months there's like an article from some well-placed PR strategist or like a weapons manufacturing consultant who's like, you know, Palestine is on its 2,000-year reform plan to become like a modern democracy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, this guy who's in power now, what's his name, Adam? Do you know this?
Abbas?
No, the Saudi, the son of the ailing Saudi
what's his name?
Monarch.
Fucking
something.
It's the acronym.
Yeah.
Thomas Friedman wrote that article where he sucks his dick.
Yeah.
What's and every, his name?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Meg, hit that Google search.
Yeah, make
search.
Us sound smarter, Meg.
I mean, but you know, this guy, the Saudis are slaughtering people left and right. If they had their way, they'd put all of the Middle East into bondage.
Yeah, there is also sort of a soft alliance that's come about in the last couple of years between Saudi Arabia and Israel, which is like kind of
interesting. Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. They have to like kind of, they're like two dogs at a dog park who sniff each other, like circle each other's asses and, you know, sniff and agree to not maul each other to death.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess, I don't know. There are enough people like dipshits in America that go on Birthright that have like a hot Israeli soldier on their bus and then decide that they're going to defend Israel for the rest of their lives here.
Well, one of the first things that the rabbinical student I met with asked me was, are you ready to die for the Jewish people?
I am.
Which gave me, I mean, that gave me some serious pause.
Well, you're ready to die, but not necessarily for the Jewish people.
Yeah, just in general.
No, but I mean, look, I feel very strongly about this, and this will probably get me drawn and quartered all over town. But, like, you know, I'm, like, Jewish on my mom's side, at least marginally, and I'm Armenian on my dad's side. This is a very heavy burden to carry. It sounds narcissistic, but when you have, like, two bloodlines that were both threatened with extermination,
genocided,
with liquidation, you start to take kind of not nationalism, but ethnic affinity. You start to take it very seriously.
Sure.
And it's not, you know, it's not to say that I'm like Israel's number one fan, but like I sympathize with, as much as I sympathize with the Palestinians, and I really truly do, I also sympathize with the Israelis. I mean, not the government per se, but the people for sure.
It's difficult for me too because
I don't sympathize with
them. The optics are
so bad.
Like,
well, no, the optics are horrible. And actually, real Israelis, like actual Israelis, are rude and insufferable.
Disgusting.
They're all like a Sacha Baron Cohen character. And you know, they're all so hot, but they're so rude that it kind of negates
so
their
hot.
Hotness. I will say their gay porn stars are top notch.
Incredible.
However, I mean, I sympathize, I guess, with all these people that fled the Soviet Union and now live in Israel, many of whom are not even Jewish.
Yeah, I know. There's also like a political party that was started by a Russian, a guy named Avigdor Lieberman.
Yeah,
he started
like
a far right political party in Israel.
He's actually my uncle.
Did he? Yeah,
he's my daddy.
Yeah, he's my daddy. but yeah, another fun fact though that is a little bit that is endlessly, boundlessly entertaining for me is that Israel actually does not recognize the Armenian genocide, which Hitler very openly modeled the Holocaust on the genocide. He was like, "How can we exterminate as many people as possible in a mechanical and efficient way?" And like, of course, this is preposterous because Jerusalem also has a very large Armenian population. Mm-hmm. It has a historic Armenian quarter. Yeah. And, you know, Armenians are another Semitic race.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's like wild. It's wild that Israel does not recognize the Armenian genocide because they have a little bit of like, you know, they're doing like the finger up the butt, the anal foreplay with like Turkey and Azerbaijan. Right. And they have to like keep up appearances.
Well, they hate Erdogan, yeah. I mean, even like more relevant to today, there are a bunch of African refugees who've spilled over the border from Egypt, and Israel's like basically imprisoned them you don't want to say a concentration camp because then, you know, people start yelling at you.
But
effectively like in
internment camp.
Yeah, internment. There we can go. And they're turning them away. I mean, the refugees from Eritrea and Darfur and stuff who are seeking asylum in Israel, like a country that's supposed to be founded in the wake of like a genocide.
Yeah.
You know, these people being sort of systematically imprisoned and then kicked out.
Wait, are these like Jewish refugees?
No, just people from Africa that have like escaped through Egypt.
I see.
And then like go to Israel for, you know, to seek a like political asylum. But they had like a huge like African migration from like people from like war-torn African countries.
I see, yeah.
And you know, it's sort of like kind of like you know, Mexico, people being like smuggled into the country.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously there's been no like, there has been like certain mayors have said we want to create asylum cities or whatever, but it's been similar to the United States where they're like, oh, we don't want these people in our country. We want to get them out of here.
Yeah. And I, you know, that's a horrible thing to do to people who are fleeing. But on the other hand, I do also understand like there's this idea that like kind of nation states or ethnic affinities are bad in this day and age, and that may very well be the case, and perhaps we can never return to the old way of the world, like just as we can't return to like the old gender roles or whatever. But there's clearly like a tension where people have inevitably, like people are, I think that people are naturally inevitably tribal. And it makes sense.
Right.
I mean,
I agree. Yeah.
It makes logical sense why, you know, certain countries wouldn't want an influx of other people from another country coming into their country. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, from a strictly humanitarian, from baseline human compassion, you have to let them in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see this in like with the Scandinavian and countries and Germany and England to, you know, a lesser extent, they've let all these immigrants in, and now there's all this friction and tension like on the ground.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems pretty hypocritical to me. I mean, obviously the Palestinian issue is the biggest hypocrisy.
Yeah.
But for a country to be founded like in the shadow of the Holocaust and then to completely ignore, you know, similar suffering.
Well, Jews are so clicky.
Well, it's a bizarre.
Yeah, I think that's probably
Well, it's a bizarre irrational. It's like a bizarre irrational reality, but the fact of the matter is that like tribal affinities are completely bizarre and irrational. And like, how do you like, you know, there's two options. You either return to like that old tribal mode of being, or like you truly try to develop a society, like
a
where,
real melting pot.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just sort of the answer you have to get to at a certain point is like, does it work for you to say I'm going to have a Jewish state and for it to also be a democracy? And
yeah,
by 2020, there will be more Palestinians between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean, which is like the West Bank, Israel and Gaza.
Yeah.
And the demographics aren't in their favor. And that's why this like continued occupation has existed, because if they give them democratic rights, then they wouldn't have a Jewish state anymore.
Right, exactly.
So I mean, to me, maybe I'm an ideal, whatever, but like what would make the most sense to me is saying like, okay, we all live here. This shit sucks. Like, you know, you guys got kicked out of your home 60 years ago, but like everyone should be able to vote and have a say in their government. And there should be very, like, maybe like, I don't know, like Belgium has very different spheres of influence, like mm-hmm. between French and Flemish, like uh-huh. people. You could have like a unity government, and you could have like very, like a different, like sub, what? Oh, am I speaking to, yeah, I don't know. I mean, that sounds to me sort of like probably the best idea, but I mean, then you'd be giving up on the whole concept of Zionism in a
Jewish
state.
Yeah, which
we should probably give up on.
Probably.
Yeah, and it's a terrifying proposal, I think, for like Israeli people, because then you have to contend with a totally different set of values. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like as the great Zionist Marty Peretz said, and I think like, you know, he's been wrong about so many things, but one thing that he said really, that really always struck me as correct was that he said, my children's generation cares about diversity, but they don't believe in actual difference between people. And there's a lot of real, actual, serious difference between mm-hmm. people.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah, so do we solve it?
I think we nailed it.
The Israel thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I really, at this point, just don't care anymore.
I know.
Like, it's embarrassing at this point. It's just like, your parents get like too emotional about it. You have to get in arguments with them at Passover and shit where they're like, you know, they're basically saying like Nazi type shit to you about Palestinians. And then you have to be like, you're on the wrong side of history. And then everyone's crying. It's like at a certain point, I kind of just want to be like, you know what? That's a different country.
Yeah.
Well, I don't pay taxes there. I'm an American. You're, you know, not my country, I have enough fucking issues in this country. But you know, whatever. Jews are all histrionic and emotional.
Yeah, we're all neurotics and hypochondriacs.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think you could make the argument. You could say that a country that was truly secure and powerful wouldn't feel the need to heavy-handedly oppress other people,
and to get so like upset every time someone's like Natalie Portman like snubs them.
Mm-hmm.
They really have no.
Well, I'd be upset if Natalie Portman snubbed me.
Sure.
Hasn't Natalie Portman heard about the incredible gay nightlife scene in Tel Aviv? And they have the most vegetarian restaurants per capita in the entire world.
Ladies and gentlemen, is why I'm going to Israel.
I don't know if you could be against. Yeah, I love like whenever they give you those like facts, those like, you know, sort of pro-Israel Hasbara facts. So it's like, oh, you like text messaging? Did you know that was developed in Israel? So if you're going to BDS, you better stop texting.
Do you
texting.
Like pomegranate?
Yeah. Do you like drip
that's actually
irrigation?
An Armenian fruit?
All the birthright Instagram ads I get every time I talk about
your Judaism.
Birthright and mm-hmm. Judaism.
I saw a list that was like, if you support it was like how to avoid supporting Israel. And it was like, don't eat Sabra hummus, soda stream, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. And then one was like computer printing. Like don't print.
Is Thanks. Starbucks really? Okay?
Because it, no, probably not.
No. Oh, they try to say you can't use computers because like the Pentium processor.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Was like developed in Israel. So if
Fuck
you're really,
you, Israel.
If you're against Israel, yeah, I guess you can't use computers. Do you like instant messaging? Because that was developed in Israel. You know, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
I would really love to go to Israel and never use a computer again. That's my dream.
Someone on Twitter, like a couple of years ago, found this Facebook page called Israel's Dank Meme Stash. And it's like all of these like lame ass like fucking Hillel girls at like different colleges using like AAVE and like, you know, like that black woman gif on the Wendy Williams show where she's clapping like and nodding where they're like and they're like they basically like do it to like defend like Israel's brutality. It's like that feel when you're criticizing Israel but you know whatever it's
but you're using a computer yeah, to record your podcast.
It's a real nightmare.
Sound
of
familiar?
The internet if you guys want to check that out sometime. It's really fucking terrifying.
Hold on, I have to refill our producer's wine glass.
With rosé.
Because she's really put off by my Zionism and can't can no longer do her job.
The faster someone Venmos money to get Anna on a jet to Israel out of here, the better
From my experience, I don't think Israeli women put out as much as Israeli men are like very like
they love
lascivious and horny.
They're whores. They're all whores.
But like Israeli women actually like kind of are like kind of prudes. They're
But I will say Naomi Russell makes up for all of them. So it's fine.
R.I.P.
Whatever. Yeah.